I lift up this morning to you, and I lift up each lady in this room, and I just pray that it's a sweet morning of intimacy with you and intimacy with each other. So God, we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to introduce Laura Melema to you. She's going to come up and share about an opportunity that we have monthly here as the Women of Grace. So, yeah, there you go.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. They announced, I think, in August that I'm one of the six women that are helping out. So I've been heading up coordinating events for Ladies of Grace, and we've done a few things this last summer. We had some of the soiree dinners, and we decided to do two things that are monthly for everyone, and it's been really sweet so far. And some of you have been to some of them, and some of you know about it, but we wanted to just bring it to your attention and tell you how to find it and give you more info about these. So the first one is these quiet mornings, or silent retreats, but we're calling them quiet mornings. And they are on the first Thursday of every month. I know several of you have been to two of them already. Jamie Mathisrud, who I believe is speaking today, she'll be talking a little bit about it, but she leads them, and she's an amazing retreat leader. And if you go, you will be really blessed. The theme is cultivating the fruit of the spirits in our lives through parables and practices. And each week, she's doing a different different fruit of the spirit. So the first one was love, and the second one I missed, but I'm assuming maybe it was joy. And then don't test me past that. But the cool thing is you don't have to go to all of them. You can just pop in whenever you're able to go. So those are the first Thursdays of each month. They're 9:15. You get there at 9:15. There's a little bit of snacks and greeting, and then there's no talking after that, so it's perfect, extrovert or introvert, to come. And it's 9:30, and then it concludes at 11:45, and we pick Thursdays hoping that if you're someone that has a child, that you can actually drop them off here and do the church childcare and then head over there. And November will be back at Ann Storm's house, and then December is at Ginger and Nix's home. So those are really special times. I remember when Jamie, the last 2 months ago that I went to, she's like, if you fall asleep, that's what you needed. If you get time with the Lord and journal, that's also what you needed. And she, it's very open. She leads you in a couple different times of different parables or some thoughts and verses in scripture. But and then there's a handout you can take or not take. And it's just really sweet time to dedicate to the Lord and hear what he has to say to you. So those are great times. So you can sign up. We have a monthly email that's been going out to Women of Grace, so I hesitate to say talk to me after if you're not getting that email, and we'll put you on the list, or you can talk to a few other people, I think, but you can definitely reach out to me and let me know. We'll get you on that email, and this announces what I'm telling you and even just updates about Abide or blessings. So the other thing we're doing, we had so much fun this summer doing three summer soirees that Christina normally does, I wanted to continue that on. So we did one in Tustin, Irvine, and Newport, and they were all such sweet times. We had about around 12 women for each of them. I'm seeing several faces that were there, which is so fun. New faces, new connecting, women that maybe aren't part of any study. Some, I think one person came and decided to join Abide because of it even. It's been a neat time of like connecting the dots and bringing people in that are new. I mean, there's some brave souls that will come and be like, I got to start somewhere. And it's the perfect time to just share a meal together. We have table questions. If we have time, we'll do a little game. So they've been really sweet. So a few people over the summer is like, let's keep doing this. So it got my wheels turning and we're doing them monthly. So we had our second one. I was going to try to do the second Thursdays, kind of keep first day, Thursdays are the silent days, second Thursdays are these dinners. But I've actually noticed that a lot of there's people Abide at night that have Thursdays. There's a couple other people that Thursdays aren't good. So I think I'm going to switch that up. So look for that. But we did Thursday last month. It was a great time in Tustin again. Tustin ladies love our soirees. People show up. It's been good. It's been really sweet. But I love the intergenerational, like all different ages come, new people, people that have been at Grace forever. We share why we're there, about our family, how long we've been at Grace. Just really sweet connections have been made. It's been such a blessing just for me to watch. I walk away loving the connections made. So this last one was in Costa Mesa at Jenny Gnifke's home, Jen Zellner, you know, Ryan Zellner, her sister-in-law. She did it in Costa Mesa, and we had to switch to Monday night. That's just how it worked. And it was so great because that showed me, like, okay, let's switch up the nights. And we only had, we had eight people, and it was the sweetest night. We had one lady, she might be here, Claudia. She's like, I'm kind of an introvert. There she is. And I'm like, you are so brave to come tonight. And she, I think she really enjoyed it. We had so much fun laughing and sharing and playing a game. It's 6 to 8 is roughly the time. It does cost $25 to cover dinner. And then I always pick up either Susie cakes or Zoe's chocolate cake. We try to make it special. So it's a really fun time together. We hope you guys can go to some of them and meet new people and connect with people you haven't met before or fellowship with your best friends. So that's it. And I think it's hard to find. I've been told it's been hard to find. So if you go on the Grace website and you go under the calendar, that's maybe the best way to find where to sign up and also the monthly emails. So thanks.
Thank you, Laura. That's a lot, you guys. We have some fun ways to connect with each other. I'm excited. We also have, if for some reason Thursday mornings don't work for you for a silent retreat, Pam Cashin and Jackie Retberg are hosting a silent retreat on November the 8th that they would love to have you join them for, too. So that's another opportunity to spend some time with God and with other ladies here. So I also have, I have two announcements to do before we start. Someone lost their book. Someone else picked up Margie Burke's book. So look at your book. Look at the name in it in the front. And if it says Margie Burke, return it, please, to Margie Burke. Someone, she left it sitting out. So if you grabbed the wrong book, just glance around and hold it up, and I will get it to Margie because she is missing her book. And it was just sitting right out there. So that's number one. And then number two, look at your cell phones right now and make sure that they're turned off or the volume is off. So I'm going to make that little reminder for the next few weeks just so that we are able to focus on our morning together. All right. So we have a spotlight this morning, and I'm so excited to introduce to you for the very first time. No, I'm just kidding. Stacia Lowe is going to share with us this morning.
Good morning. So, I want to give you a quick glimpse into my years as a mom over the last 20 years. To share my experience of God's faithfulness through my painful seasons in life. This is my redemption story that I call it. One of the hardest moments of my life was December in 2006. After 5 years of marriage to my first husband, he told me he wanted a new life and there was someone else. He filed for a divorce. My son was 7.5 months old when I began my 5 years as a single mom. Not only did my husband leave, but I lost his sister and family in the divorce, including my niece, who was a month younger than my son. One of my dreams had always been to grow old with a sister because I have two older brothers, and my kids growing up with cousins. All of that was crushed. Fast forward to the end of the month, and it was our annual New Year's Eve party at my best friend's house. My son, Joey, was over across the street at Grandma and Grandpa's house, asleep, and I sat by myself at the dining table, watching all my loved ones enjoy the party. I had never felt such a heavy depression in my life. And in a single moment, I felt the Holy Spirit fill me with peace and joy and just flooded my soul. And I couldn't help but laugh by myself at the table. Right there, I prayed, Lord, this joy could only be from you. My life and my pain is yours. Use it however to help whoever. Use my story for your glory. As amazing as that moment was, the sadness was still there. The biggest outlet during those 5 years was swing dancing. My eldest brother had given me lessons for my 18th birthday, which was when we started dancing together all the time. But then I got married, and life as a worship pastor's wife took over, and it wasn't until I was back to being single that I started dancing again. I would drop off my baby with his dad and stepmom and meet my brother at the ballroom. He'd always give me our first dance without talking so that I could just cry it out or simply give God my broken heart in prayer as the music filled my soul. Dancing to that music truly filled me with the joy of the Lord, which gave me the boost to keep going. 3 years into single mom life, I was feeling very lonely. Dating was non-existent. So I went on Facebook to ask if any friends wanted to write snail mail letters with me. Adam told me he loved writing and he would love to be my pen pal. Spoiler alert, we've been married for 14 years now. Let me back up. I met Adam when Joey, my son, was a newborn because he was friends with both my brothers. We met at my brother's birthday party, but I honestly don't remember meeting him. I remember a crying baby all night, and that's about it. Dating one of my brother's best friends was never something I saw coming, even during that first year of being pen pals. But when we started hanging out, after much prayer, God confirmed I was on the right path. Engagement and wedding plans happened relatively quickly after that, and God used Adam's sisters as such a huge part of my redemption story. Adam has an Irish twin sister, Faith. They were best friends growing up, and she quickly became one of mine too. God even allowed us to be pregnant at the same time. God is really good, guys. In fact, all three of my youngest boys have a cousin the same age because God gave me those pregnancies at the same time as all three of Adam's sisters. And my oldest even has a cousin the same age. God knew how much it hurt when I lost my only sister years before that, and he restored my heart times three. The best part is that what started off as pen pals has turned into a writing ministry with Adam. We write books and help others write their books. Adam went to college and grad school for literature and writing, and is now a ghostwriter and editor in addition to his day job as a writing manager. We knew we wanted to write a book together to point others to God's faithfulness and the hope of Christ we held on to through our trials and loss. What the enemy meant for evil, God for sure used for good. It was writing that first book, Hidden Hope, when my love for writing caught me by surprise. I'm an accountant, so I had no idea that writing and publishing, that I would love it so much. Until we wrote that book. That has turned into several more books. Adam writes Spiritual Growth and Development for Husbands and Fathers. I write for moms and kids with my middle grade fiction. And drumroll please, Family Budgeting Support. So if you need to start a budget, you know who to talk to. Nerd alert. Okay, my newest fiction book will be released in 3 weeks from yesterday. I'm so excited. It was inspired by my second son's leukemia diagnosis 10 years ago and his road to recovery with themes from Ephesians about the armor of God. All of this has come from a place of surrendering my pain to God's purpose. Use my life to help others, Lord. There will always be difficult seasons. My family is currently walking through another one. But there's also the good times weaved throughout. Looking back, I'm still blown away by his kindness in the details that he used in redeeming my story, all for his glory.
Ah! Thank you. Oh my gosh, let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for Stacia. Thank you so much for her willingness to stand up and just share her story, her tears, her joy, her laughter, and just her praise of you. God, thank you that her life is being used right now to help others. And more than anything else, God, I just look at her life and I just think, I see her story being used for your glory. And that's what she prayed all those years ago. So thank you for grabbing her on that New Year's Eve and filling her heart, and so that she could fill others with your joy and your glory, God. We love her, and we know you do too. So thank you for her story. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go. There you go.
Well, let's turn to our passage this morning, which is Ephesians 1, 15 through 19, on page 62, if you want to turn there. And then we'll invite Jamie up to share with us this morning. Ephesians 1, 15. For this reason, I realized I have my glasses. That's very helpful. Wow, okay. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Jamie.
Good morning. We good, Michael? Yes. Okay, thank you. In my ministry, and a lot of times when I talk, I do take my shoes off because I believe I'm standing on holy ground. Can you imagine Paul? Can you see him? He's perhaps behind a closed door, a door like this one right here. He's under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman guard, and he's probably in a very dimly lit, cold room. Can you see him there? Can you picture him in that place where he was allowed to have occasional visitors? And all of a sudden, Paul hears this. Paul, Paul, I have something to tell you. It's about the church in Ephesus. You won't believe this. It's God's chosen ones in Ephesus. Their faith has grown so strong. She continues, they're not bowing to idols. They're not caving to the culture around them. They're not leaning into idolatry. No, Paul, they're steadfast. They're so faithful. And Paul gets this huge smile. And through tears, Paul leans forward. Tell me more. She goes, okay. They love everyone well. Everyone, Jew, Gentile, Greek, rich, poor, male, female, child, the liberals, the conservatives. Okay, she might not have said that. She says they love them so well, they're bringing them meals. Some are sick and they're praying for them. She says they're loving them so well that they lean in. They say, how can I care for you? What do you need in this season? I think Paul closes his eyes. And then once more, he reaches down for that quill and he dips it in that ink pot and he moves. This praise and gratitude to thanksgiving. He writes, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love that you have for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. He says, I'm remembering you in my prayers. I love that Rembrandt image of him. You know, I wonder what ladies are hearing about us here at Abide. Thankfully, Marv Page is not under house arrest, but if he were, and someone were to go to him, I wonder what he might hear. Hey, Mark, the ladies at Abide, they're growing in their faith like you wouldn't believe. They show up week after week, study scriptures, they're being taught, they're sharing deeply the real things that are going on in their lives. And Mark leans in, say more. Their faith is actually overflowing in love for one another. Their leader moved away, and several women stepped up to take over caring for the ladies in her absence. Women are parking their cars so far away, Mark. Mark, they're leaving spots in the lot out front for the moms with little babies. They're thinking of each other. They're leaving spots so that the women who are older can get there and not have to walk so far. They're loving each other so well, Mark. Some of them I hear are even sitting by copiers and in hallways and outside. Wow, they love each other. Ladies, Paul can't stop himself. He hears these reports of the church's faith and their love, and he overflows with gratitude. Is that the response of our hearts today when we hear stories of others' faith and love? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking in our small group about people who have loved us well and cared for us well, and I shared about a meal that was brought to me by Tina Drake. Are you here, Tina?
No.
Everyone's in Hawaii. What is... Tina Drake brought... Okay, that son, by the way, when my son was born, she brought my family a meal. That son, who was born that week, turns 21 this Friday. 21 years later, I'm still touched by Tina's faith in God that overflowed in love for me and my family. So aloha and thank you, Tina. Who's your Tina? Who's your Tina? Who's somebody who's brought you a meal? Who's somebody who's prayed for you? Who's somebody just sat? I love seeing you tap her, Judy. Who's the person who's been there for you, whose faith in the Lord overflowed with acts of love to you? You know, I love that Paul went from noticing and giving thanks to God so quickly. When we notice somebody who's walking in faith and who lives it out in love, may that be our rhythm too. Thank you, God. I can't stop thanking you, God, for the Tina Drakes of this world. Thank you. In fact, I think now is kind of a good time to do that. Let's just practice. That person that came to your mind or your heart, tell them thanks. May that become our rhythm. Paul never stopped. Every single time he thought of them, he gave thanks. Well, what strikes me about the church of Ephesus is that they had this love, like I mentioned earlier, for all God's people. The ones who vote differently, think differently, pray differently, dress differently. The ones who are young in their faith, the ones who've been walking with God for 100 years. He says that they loved all people, all of God's people, the new converts, the ones that knew God so intimately, maybe even the egalitarians or the reformed, I don't know, but they were loving all God's people to love. Any of you find anyone difficult to love? Even in the family of God? Now I'm seeing different hugs being given. Praise be. You know, sometimes we can get too cozy in our own small group, right? They're a place of love. They're a place of nurture. But sometimes we can forget to look out. We can forget to lean in and show love to all God's people. What about the one who's hurting? What about the one who seems so different from me? Am I loving all God's people? That's what Paul commends the church of Ephesus for. What will it cost me to love another? What will it cost me to reach out to someone who might feel unseen someone who might be going through a season like Stacia described. There's no space in this clicks. No. We're going to love all people. That's the call. C.S. Lewis writes, Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, he writes, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love him. Jesus tells us that the world will know that we are Christians by our love for one another, right? They'll know that we have a faith in Christ because of the way we love one another. May Paul's praise of the church of Ephesus remind our hearts that as Galatians 5 verse 6 says, what is important, here it is, ladies, is faith expressing itself in love. And might the faith in Christ that we have naturally produced the fruit of love that comes by His Spirit for all God's people. So Paul, once again, dips the quill into the ink pot, and he continues writing. He writes this. He writes, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. He keeps asking, right? Paul is an intercessor. He models persistent prayer, and he has one longing for the holy people of Ephesus, that they would know him better. Paul uses here the Greek word oida. That's not how you'd say it in Greek, but I took Spanish, so oida. It's a form of knowing. It's the kind of knowing that like permeates your whole being. It's an experienced, it's a deep in your bones kind of knowing. It's the way that Stacia knows she is loved and created for what she's doing right now. And from this incredibly long, deeply theologically rich, first long run-on sentence, as a former English teacher, that kind of hurt me, but he shifts. He makes this shift from this heady theology that is so rich and so robust and all these things he wants them to know to saying, look, you can know it all, but I want you to know it all. That deep, permeating know it all. So C.S. Lewis uses this image and he says, he's talking about honey and he's finished telling them about honey. You know, it's gooey, it's sweet, it's this texture. And then he says, I want to actually give you a spoonful of it. Like, I actually want you to taste it. That's what Paul's doing here. He's going, look, this is the honey. All that theology is the honey. Now taste it. Bring it in. Savor it. Swallow it. Eat it. To that end, from Paul's cold cell, he pleads constantly for them. He says, Father, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And as Sherry taught us last week, these believers had been marked. They were sealed. They knew they were chosen. They had assurance of their salvation. They were in Christ. We know that. But it's one thing, when we put our faith in Christ, we do receive the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing. It's one thing to be sealed. It's another thing to be filled. Forced rhyme. Filled. We can be sealed, but not filled. Hear me out here. Paul wants them to grow ever increasingly in the knowledge of him. And that sort of growth only happens by the work of the Holy Spirit, the increasing indwelling spirit within each one of his believers. The Holy Spirit takes that knowing, it shifts from our heads to our hearts. It doesn't leave here, it just spreads. We go from knowing about to actually tasting the honey. And Paul prays for that spirit. And wisdom is when we actually apply and live it out. Like, we can know what God's word says, but until we live it out, we're not walking in wisdom. And revelation is when this sort of veil is removed, and suddenly there's clarity. around the things that we knew to be true about God, but we weren't quite sure how that worked. And so it's the work of the Spirit that gives us both the wisdom and the revelation based in God's word. So some of you, I think, are kind of like, yes, that's what I want. Okay, now you got me. I want wisdom. I want clarity. I want to grow in the Spirit. This is so good. What do I have to do? All right, what do I do? Okay, I want to become an expert. I'm going to become an expert. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we go out, we buy the books. We listen to the podcasts. We read the commentaries. We read multiple translations because it's easy to do so on our Bible apps. And we can even ask the Christian ChatGPT. The danger becomes that we want to become experts at everything, and we really can, can't we? It's all accessible to us now. But what we need to remember is that the true expert already lies within us. He's already there. It's the Holy Spirit. Macrina Whitaker is one of my favorite authors, and she writes the words that God spoke to her one time. He said, put your books away. That's hard for someone like me. Be with me. He said, there are no experts, Macrina, only people who have been faithful to the ache. And following that time, she reminds her readers, you, and I remind you now, you are the dwelling place for the source of all life. An expert lives within you. Are you able to be still enough to become intimate with the one who lives within? This is the only expert you will ever meet. Well, I know what it is a little bit to want to be an expert. For years, I showed up morning after morning, cup of coffee in one hand, Bible in the other. All right, God, we're going to do this. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We're going to Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and a proverb. Anyone else? Yeah. That's right. We're going to do it, God. And I wanted to be an expert until I reached a time in my life where I was in what I could say is a little bit of spiritual disarray. And I wasn't having that clarity. I wasn't hearing from God. And my spiritual director at the time said, Jamie, what would it be like for you to set aside your systems, your sort of way of being with God, and just enter a quiet space with him? It's like, what? People do that? But I was desperate. So that one morning, I slid open my closet door. I walked in there. I laid down a yoga mat. I lit a candle. And I kneeled down, and I was like, okay, God, I guess this is what we're doing. And what followed became known in my life as the year of the closet, the year of fist pounding on the floor, the year of crying, the year of falling asleep, the year of listening ever so patiently as much as I could. It started with 5 long minutes to where I'd spend hours in there just being with my God. You know, God invited me to lay aside all the ways that I had of being with him. He met with me there in the quiet. Because all those years of being with him, I'd never thought to ask him, what would you like to do this morning? What would you like to show me? How would you like to be with me? Can you imagine a friend like that? Like every time you show up and she's like, okay, I made a plan. I'm going to tell you this. And I don't know. Oh, what do you think of this? Never mind what you think. Now I'm going to read this to you. That wouldn't really be a super cool friendship. Like she wouldn't know you, right? And the same way with God, we forget to go, Maker, glorious God, how do you want to be with me? I set aside my agenda, my terms. Well, I don't know what systems or ways you may have had, and maybe I'm unique in this room, but ways of being with God, or areas where you've maybe hoped or are hoping now to become an expert. But I do know this, that sometimes, given the opportunity, God wants to shake things up. He simply wanted to be with me on his terms to allow me to get to know him better. And given the space, the Spirit met me in such a powerful way that I came to know him better and better and better, and I have barely scratched the surface. We know his word, ladies. We know a lot about him. We have studied him. We've studied his word, but do we know him? Know him? Great. There's more. There's always, always more. He wants us to know him even better. He might be inviting us to lay aside our ideas, our getting to know you systems that we have for him, and simply ask him, how do you want me to know you better in this season, in this day, in this trial, in this relationship? How might I know you better? Whether we've walked with him 50 years, whether we're nursing a young one, whether we're working 60 hours a week, wherever we find ourselves today, Paul's prayer is for us too, that we would know our triune God better. C.S. Lewis writes, Aslan, this is Lucy speaking, you're bigger. That's because you're older, little one, answered he. Not because you are? No, I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Are we growing? Are we finding him bigger day after day? So back to Paul, there in that dimly lit room, shackled, cold, he dips the quill, and I think by now it's starting to get a little bit blunt on the end. And he writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, his incomparably great power for us who believe. The eyes of your heart. You know, I can't help but think when Paul's writing this, he harkens back to that day on the Damascus Road. When he's talking about light, ladies, that was a moment of light, where God blinded Paul physically so that he could open his eyes spiritually, the eyes of his heart. And I think as Paul's writing, he's talking about, the NLT says, the flooding of light to the hearts. I think he's thinking of that day. How could he not? When God flooded him with a physical light so that he couldn't see anything around him, and in that moment, God opened his spiritual eyes. I wonder if we could use God to maybe flood out the world around us, to flood out the noise or the distractions or the things that we're seeing so that he can shine the light here. You know, Paul was literally blinded physically with this external light for the sake of an open spiritual eye. See, all the passionate zeal in the world cannot open or enlighten spiritual eyes. Paul was an expert in the law, remember? But he had only known about God. He was zealous, but he didn't know God until the Spirit blinded his physical eyes and illuminated the eyes of his heart. The veil was removed for Paul. But even Paul knew, even after that encounter, there's always more. Always more. Paul prays for them. He prays that their spiritual eyes would also be eliminated. And as I mentioned, the NLT says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that they might know oido, a deep-lived spiritual experience of the hope and the riches and the power that are already theirs when they got sealed. Maybe you know women who, as Paul prays, had the eyes of their heart enlightened. Do you know them? Those that just continue to lean in, though, even though they know him, they want more. They're hungry for more. They're eager. They're insatiable. They just want to know more about him. You know them? I do. I know some of these women. They want to know him more. Are you those women? Well, we learn from and we receive inspiration from people who believe that there's always more to knowing of their God. Some of you may have read our very own Diane Cotton's book, Don't Give Me Stink Eye. It's called More, An Invitation. Diane wrote this book after 40 plus years of knowing God because she wanted to know him more. She feels invited every day to know more. There's always more with our God. She uses these rich, vivid writings and her imagination to lean into more with God. And I'll tell you what, I read this book and it opened me to new ways of experiencing God and seeing him. More. There's always more, and we're all invited to it. Thank you, Diane, for bringing me into the garden of his presence, an ocean of his grace, and looking around at faces like yours that speak to me of the more of God. Doreen, she's not with us today. She's visiting family. But this is her at our September retreat. And by the way, all these photos have been taken of women at the retreat. The sort of voyeur that I am, I go around and capture the moments. This is Doreen, posted up at the end of the hallway at Ann Storm's in September. You know, at 22 years old, some of you know the story, Doreen literally saw the light of the world. And she realized that day, he could love even me. Messiah would love me. That was a few years ago, ladies. Fast forward to this photo. And she writes, it's kind of hard to read in the white, sorry. She says, there's something strengthening in communal silence that encourages me to dare to feel and to allow God to enter in. Meditating for me is, in a group setting, it's so much easier for me to sustain than when I'm home alone. She says, in these quiet times, the Holy Spirit is convincing me of the permanence of his presence with me. As Teresa of Avila says, God never changes. Doreen's not new to silent retreats, ladies. She's done these for years. But she finds somehow this ironic reality that there in this structured environment, the walls come tumbling down for her. She weeps. She listens. She hears from God because she knows there's more. There's always more. She can always know him better. Until she takes her last breath, she will be leaning in to know him better. In that space, she finally feels, she says, what's actually going on within her. She opens up to what God wants, she wrote. What God wants her to see, to feel, to know, and instead of being all about busyness and shutting him out, she just quiets herself and gets to know him better. So Doreen, thank you for showing me what it looks like to lean into relationship and presence with Messiah, even after all these years, to know him better, the light of the world. Well, there's one more. Actually, there's so many more, but we don't have time. I'm seeing all the faces of women that were on the prayer call this morning with Mark Page. It's open to all of us every Wednesday morning, and some of you I only knew because of your face this big in a screen, but they show up week after week to lean into scripture and prayer because they want to know him better. Well, the idea of a quiet morning was about the last thing that Teresa Roberson wanted to do. Roberson, sorry. It was not enticing to her at all. In fact, we had a dinner at Ann Storm's house, and her husband, Don, was like, she mentioned him. She was kind of thinking of going. And he's like, you? Wait, you're going to be quiet all morning? You might not know this about Teresa, but she has a little bit of a stubborn streak. So when he responded like that, she's like, oh, I'm going. Yeah, I am. She writes, I'm a doer and a talker. More than a sit down, be quiet, and open my heart, not my mouth, to God. After my first retreat, I hungered for more, for taking time, carved out time to spend with just Jesus, learning not to have an expectation, but just to be still and know that he's God. My mind is always on high volume. Anyone? And I had the opportunity to turn the volume down and just listen for his voice. I've been a leader for many years, and if you know her, that's an understatement. And I think, she said, I had forgotten how to step back and let Jesus lead. Teresa, she's not here today, but thank you, Teresa, for opening yourself to new ways, even quiet ways, of being with God, letting him lead. Friends, these three women, I'm not good at math, but I think if I counted the years that these three women I've used as an example have walked with the Lord, getting to know him, it'd be over 100 years, for sure. And yet, they want more. They want to know him better. They're not tapping out.
They know there is more. They're willing to lean into whatever it might look like, whether writing a book or starting a business or just being quiet, which is so hard for some of us, among other women for a couple of hours. They just want to know him better, whatever it looks like, however he invites. They want the truth of the hope, the riches, and the power of Christ to permeate them. Oida, no, in every way, they want more, 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 always more. Know him better, always better. They've just scratched the surface and they're hungry for more. How about us? How about us? Is that our longing? Is it our longing to know him better? Do we posture our lives in such a way that he gets to choose? He gets to make the call on how we get to know him better? I would contend that if you're here today, or if you're watching online, this is a shout out to Abide Alternatives and Abide at Night and all the Abiders that are not here today but are here. All of us, we just want to know him better. I know that, or you wouldn't be here. You want to know him better. Let's ask him how. Let's let him lead the way. That's what Paul does in this prayer. He's like, I just want you to know these things better. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit decide how that looks for each one of you uniquely. But I know it's what he wants to do. So Paul's specific prayer that they would know three realities, and this is from our workbook, that they would know, that we would know our hope in God, our wealth from God, and our safety with God is how Marshall Siegel writes it. We've learned from Paul how to pray. He prayed for the Ephesians. It's a pattern of praise and gratitude and longing for them and petition for them. Something we can pray on repeat, starting now, for ourselves, for others. Those four verses, a powerful prayer model. And if you're comfortable, and even if you're not, we're going to do this. We're going to spend just a couple minutes praying according to the model of Paul's prayer. And as I do at my retreats, you can now say you've gone on a mini quiet retreat because most of you haven't been talking this last little bit, so well done. I'm just going to encourage you to empty your laps. Just set aside any devices, pens, books, whatever. Settle into your chair because these are pretty cozy chairs, by the way. And trust me enough that you can close your eyes. And maybe just take a few deep breaths. And if possible, I want you to place yourself there in the presence of your Lord, your glorious God and Father, your Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine his face, his scent, his robe. Put yourself there with him. And I don't know what you're holding today. I don't know what despair, what grief, what worry, what diagnosis, what care for a loved one. But God there with you invites you to lay it in his hands and to trade him for hope. For me, sometimes I just hold it in my hands and I offer it to him. God, I give you this despair. And I receive in its place your hope. And even as I still hold the despair, I let your hope infuse it, God. Father, fill us with hope. Fill us with hope in you. We trade our despair for your hope. And with our eyes still closed, you know, perhaps there's an area in your life where you feel scarcity. It might be financial. It might be time, wisdom, relationship, faith. Again, whatever comes to your mind, imagine just handing those right now before God, handing them to him. God, we offer you this place that feels insufficient. It feels lacking. And we ask that by your Spirit, you would fill our hearts to know the riches and the lavish, unshakable inheritance that are ours in Christ Jesus.
Father, we trade our scarcity, our insufficiency for your unfathomable wealth. And as our eyes are still closed, finally, we arrive today with an area of weakness. Whether it's in your body, emotionally, spiritually, perhaps it's that sin that we just keep going back to. And we name that weakness before God right now. He already knows what it is. And as we do, we hand it over to him. God, we want to know and receive deep within our being the incomparably great power that's already ours in this place of weakness by your Spirit. It's because we believe in you, the source of all power. God, we trade you. We offer you our weakness, our insufficiencies, and we ask you to infuse, fill them with your power by your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts. We want to know you. Father, Son, Spirit, it's a longing of our hearts. We want to know you. Amen. And Michael's going to put the lyrics up for this song. And you may choose to read along, or you might just want to continue in that space of being with Abba and letting him speak to your heart.
Good morning, everyone. Jamie, thank you so much. Thank you so much for welcoming us into this space of rest this morning and love. And that was just a wonderful way to start the day. And now moving on to snacks. I know that Gina already said thank you for everyone who brought everything today, so thank you again. The homework reminder for next week is that it's week 7. I don't have page numbers, so just week 7. The snack reminder for next week is Debbie and Terry's group, and then coffee is going to be done by Nancy May. And then just a reminder, too, that we always have our quiet mornings and soirees that are coming up, and you can always find that information, too, on the calendar at gracefellowshipchurch.org. So, all right, have a great time in your groups.